Welcome to Right Damn It with me, Zoe Richards, your host for the podcast that's all about books, writing them, reading them, and getting our heads around getting the writing done. Episode 99, and today I am doing an introduction for you to writing neurodivergent characters. I'm doing this as an introduction because this is one of those topics. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I've already recorded this episode once, but having recorded it, realised I was getting into some quite complicated things. Now, if you know about neurodiversity, it's not complicated at all, but if you know about it, you probably don't need to know much about writing neurodivergent characters. So what I realised is I need to break this down into bite-sized chunks. So today's episode is an introduction to writing neurodivergent characters, and then we'll have a couple of other episodes about this as well too. So today I'm just going to focus on what is neurodivergence and what is it not, so that we can then get to a position where we've got a good starting point, a good foundation for them being able to look at how we then use neurodivergence in describing characters, in understanding characters, and in giving characters that journey of transformation that we take them on. Okay, so what is neurodivergence? First of all, you could hear it referred to as neurodivergence, like I've just said, or neurodiversity, or neurodevelopmental needs, or ND. Now, I've worked for about 5 years in the area of SEND, Special Educational Needs and Disabilities. And what we've found over the last 5 years is that there has been a move away talking about an individual diagnosis, such as autism or ADHD, and rather a move into talking ND, which is, as I've just described, neurodivergence, or in the term of the medical context, we would refer to it as a neurodevelopmental need or a neurodevelopmental pathway that's a medical pathway to support children and young people with neurodiversity. So we've got neurodivergence, we've got ND, and I think for the rest of this, I will call it ND. But what actually falls under that heading? I think that's something that's really helpful to start off with, to know each of the different diagnoses. So we've got autism. Now, I'm saying autism and not, so you might in the past have heard of Asperger's, you might have heard of ASD or ASC, but I'm specifically using the word autism. And that's first of all because Asperger's is a term that has fallen out of favour many years ago, at least 10 years, maybe going on for 20 actually when I think about it. So Asperger's is not a term that is used anymore. ASD, that is autism spectrum disorder. And there's a dislike of the use of the word disorder because in reality, it isn't a disorder, it's a difference. So it is not an autism spectrum disorder. From there, people started to ask for it to be called a condition, so ASC, autism spectrum condition. But again, it's not necessarily a condition, it's a difference. So the term that is favoured these days is to simply call it autism. Then we have ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. That word disorder again. It'll be interesting to see if that changes over coming years. But at the moment, that's still referred to as ADHD. I think in the US, there's still a tendency to refer to it as ADD, which it used to be referred to in this country that way as well. But now we say ADHD. We've then got sensory processing needs, and sensory processing, if you've not come across that, if you think of each of the different senses we have, there are people who have processing needs in relation to their sensory, in terms of their senses. So that could be difficulty with the taste and texture of certain foods, or it could be I have an issue in relation to noise and people standing close to me. So that touch of somebody getting too close, if I haven't invited it, if I've gone in for the hug, I'm fine with it. But if I haven't, sometimes I can get a little bit antsy about somebody getting too close to me. There are lots of other things around sensory processing needs as well. I'm just giving you a couple of examples there. We've then got speech, language and communication needs. And it's said, for example, by the way, that there are a higher number of children with speech, language and communication needs who are 5 and under. So those who weren't in school when the pandemic hit, those who were babies, those who've gone through their formative early years without having been at nursery school with childminders, going to events with other children present, going to school, so forth. So these are children who are more affected by speech, language and communication needs than in the past. I'm telling you that because if you've got a young child, that might be something you want to bring in on this, that if it's a young child, they may have a speech, language and communication need. So if you think of children who go to see a speech and language therapist, those are ones who are described as SLCN, with a speech, language and communication need. Then we've got dyspraxia. So that's where a child or a person doesn't know their midline point. So my daughter is dyspraxic and diagnosed dyspraxic. I am probably dyspraxic. My mum is so dyspraxic, even though she was never diagnosed. She's like my daughter and has some of the extreme traits of dyspraxia. So that can be somebody who appears to fall over nothing, is always banging into things. My mum says that my granddad used to say to her, if Joycey could walk through a door or through a wall, she'll always try and walk through the wall first. Yep, that is my mother. So, but there are lots of other things around dyspraxia. I'm just giving you a little hint of it. Dyslexia, which you might know about already, is those people who have difficulty with being able to read words off a page. That could be because there's different colours bouncing off the page. It could be because words are merging into each other. For some people, it's almost like a dance of the words with both the letters and colours on the page. I can't imagine that. I'm not dyslexic, so I literally cannot imagine what that's like. But my husband and daughter both are dyslexic and both totally get that. As well as dyslexia, we have dyscalculia, so that's a similar thing but with numbers. We've then got obsessive compulsive disorder and Tourette's syndrome. By the way, on obsessive compulsive disorder, if you've got a character who's a little bit fussy about washing their hands but has not got obsessive compulsive disorder, please do not describe them as being OCD, because they're only OCD if they have been diagnosed as OCD. Okay, so that's some things around what we can expect around neurodivergence. One of the things to keep in mind, though, is that we have what's called comorbidities when it comes to neurodivergence. And that's where you would find more than one diagnosis. So it could be, for example, autism and sensory processing needs, or autism dyspraxia. It could be ADHD, dyspraxia and dyslexia, and so on. I didn't mention FASD, by the way, but fetal alcohol syndrome disorder is also something that would fall under neurodiversity. All right, so what is it not? What is ND not? It's not a disability. Let's keep that in mind for all of this going forward, for this little series I'm doing on writing neurodivergent characters. Let's keep in mind that neurodiversity is not a disability. It is a difference. And you know, the reality is we're all different from each other. So there is no normal. There is a type of normal that the establishment determined as normal years and years and years ago, probably centuries ago, as being that is what we class as normal intelligence, normal behaviour and so on. But, you know, there is no normal because there is only neurodiversity. We are all different. And neurodiversity is a difference, not a disability. It's also important to know, even though children and young people who are ND are often put through a pathway, a health pathway, that is through CAMHS, the Children and Adolescent Mental Health Services, it is not a mental health issue. So please keep that in mind, that somebody is not mentally unstable, mentally ill, they don't have a mental health problem, they don't have a mental health issue, simply because they are ND. It's possible that somebody can also have a mental health issue, just as it's possible for anyone to also have a mental health issue alongside their difference, whatever their way is, without being diagnosed as neurodiverse. So in our family, we know that we experience something called PMDD. I don't experience it anymore, thanks to the menopause, but premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which can appear to be bipolar. So my daughter, who is neurodiverse, is somebody who was being told she had a mental health problem rather than being diagnosed with PMDD at first, because it was simply seen as being she had a mental health issue. But she actually had a genuine condition that needed the right level of support. So ND, neurodevelopmental issues, neurodiversity, it is not a disability, it is not a mental health issue. There are also a lot of people who will say it's not a superpower. You might have noticed this has become something people talk about, that, you know, somebody's got a superpower because they are ND. No, they've just got traits. They're just a certain kind of person with a certain skill, a certain way of thinking, a certain way of being. And there's a lot of people who are ND who don't like being referred to as having a superpower. So be careful if you're writing a neurodiverse character not to reference superpowers. It's also not a negative health condition. I think this is really important because we have entered a period where it would appear, certainly from my experience in the work that I've been doing the last 5 years, it would appear that there's a lot of people who view autism, for example, as something negative. Oh, I've got autism. Oh, my child's got autism. Oh, I've got ADHD. I need some kind of care and love and attention. It's not negative. It absolutely is not negative. There are some negative things that can happen because society is not built around somebody with autism, somebody with ADHD, and the rest of the list that I gave you earlier on. But it doesn't make it a negative health condition. There are masses of positives. And in next week's episode, I will be talking about the traits and the positives and how you can use what's referenced as negative, because it isn't necessarily negative for the person experiencing it. It's only negative, potentially, it is only negative for others viewing a trait who don't like that trait because it's not like them. So neurodiversity, ND, is not a negative health condition. And then finally, neurodiversity is not a curable health condition either. So if you're taking your character who is neurodiverse on a transformation journey, please remember that you cannot cure their neurodiversity. You can change some aspect of their life. You can do, you know, anybody can have had an experience of trauma that affects them, that will be part of their transformation journey in your novel. But that doesn't mean you're then to cure them of their neurodiversity. So please don't try and cure some aspect. You can't cure. So my uncle, for example, has a stammer, a stutter. He has both, a stammer and a stutter. So he will stutter certain words and he stammers in not being able to say any word at all at some points. I know, had speech and language therapy when he was younger, but he was not cured. And in certain situations, although he can have a conversation with you without any sign of a stammer at all, what you will find is there are situations where that comes out. So you're not going to be able to cure your character on that transformation journey. Okay, so that's just your introduction to neurodiversity as we spend this little series on looking at writing neurodivergent characters. So I hope it's helping you. If you are currently writing a neurodivergent character, listen into the coming episodes, but also please make sure you do your research. Please don't go on the basis of stereotypes, and please don't simply assume that you know and understand neurodiversity. If you've got a family member who is autistic, has ADHD or whatever, or any of the other of the list that I gave you, please go and talk to them. But equally, be careful about how you talk, because this isn't an opportunity to mine their lived experience. Don't assume that they're going to be okay with sharing information with you. And in some ways, it might be better to find somebody who's a stranger. And it's definitely good to offer to pay for any help that somebody can give you. Okay, I shall leave you to it for now. Happy writing. May the words flow for you. And I'll see you on the next episode.